You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go. Thief! Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello and welcome to Imp's Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through a circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. A link is in the description. Order merch from all our shows over at chopped-tees.com. Thank you to Dickie. Read the newsletter over on Social Suplex. Shout out to Trish and Tim, as always, for their amazing work. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Tunnel Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the WWE week that was. 30 minutes of all-in week where everybody here at Social Suplex is wishing the best of weeks upon you all, even though it's boiling hot in Texas. be safe and wise in the heat. Then there's me, the English man, talking about WWE. This here is my calm before the storm, because next week I'll have so many counter-programming events to get through. AEW aren't competition, though. No, they're not competition. It's just a coincidence that next week I'm going to have, like, 3 or 4 shows to talk about. they're not competition, though. It's just a coincidence. And I'm sure the women are thrilled about only ever getting an Evolution show to counteract something. Last time it was to counterbalance the critique of the first Saudi Arabia event, this time to try and diminish the success of AEW All In. Can the women not just get a show for their own merit? No, not here in WWE. AEW aren't competition. The show that fans have been wanting for about 7 years, or they've been calling for, get an Evolution that actually based off the women's like own merit of proper bills and everything, does not just be like a thing to help PR-wise with a bad run for the Saudi stuff. No. Next time I get one. We'll get to it. And then there's the perception loss of putting on mediocre shows to compete with the high quality big show of your competitor. The swing for AEW to be in such a positive light right now has been building and running for quite a while. It's just this week it has hit a turning point because WWE is taking such a loss this weekend that they tried to counter AEW with shows and it's backfired on the perception so badly. You all saw the TKO Group's Twitter post, right? A full lineup of WWE and UFC events, and every single reply was AEW All In gifts. Every single one of them. So transparent and surely detrimental. Or at least in our little wrestling bubble. But for me this week, I've got to talk about SmackDown from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Monday Night Raw from Providence, Rhode Island. So let's just get through that, shall we? A nice easy week, because Jesus Christ, next week, got to talk about Evolution, Saturday night's main event, Monday Night Raw. As normal, when there's a weekend show, I skip SmackDown, and of course, bollocks that NXT stuff. I really don't have enough room. So next week's the big one. This week, nice and relaxed, nice and chill. So let's jump on over to, actually, speaking of nice and chill, this SmackDown was the July 4th episode that I'm going to be talking about. This episode was the July 4th episode of SmackDown that I'm going to be talking about, and was therefore on a holiday, on a special day. And the edited down version that I got was 1 hour 20 minutes. But let's jump on over to these 80 minutes, with 15 taken up by the opening promo segment, so, you know, a super quick watch. It's already only 18, I'm already down to 65. The July 4th Independence Day edition of Smackers, my pale English arse is definitely the target demo for this patriotic pageantry. I can't even imagine having a I Love UK Day. Like, it'd be full of knobheads, I'm telling you. It would not attract a nice crowd. But anyway, jumping over to SmackDown with a Bloodline main event. I know, crazy, they're trying shit out here. With a Bloodline main event? Yeah, let's jump on over to a substandard SmackDown.
Fatu's lighting it up! Mighty moonsault by Fatu!
We're back. back, baby! This time with a Fatu to hype and a tall, big little brother to show off. Gawk, he's so tall. The Bloodline main event of Jacob Fatu and Jimmy Uso versus Solo Sikoa and JC Mateo. That's the first time I've written down his WWE name and not Jeff Cobb. Am I making the transition? Well, no, because my next note is written as main event Jeff Cobb. That's how I only got that far. Baby steps, baby steps. Eventually, they repeat his name so much where eventually I'll just say it, and at that point then the Cobb is gone. It will happen eventually. But main event Jeff Cobb accompanied the new United States champion as the Bloodline entered this new mid-card swing, and I kind of like where they are at the moment. Solo Sikoa as a main event didn't really click for me, but with him right now in this mid-card, upper mid-card slot where the entire point isn't to try and get him up, it's to try and get Jacob Fatu up, it feels like it. This is a place where I quite like him. This whole main event designed to feature Fatu as our main character in a test that feels like he's truly passing as each week goes by. Fans are really hungry to see the man dancing with players higher up the card. Also, we'll be doing these Bloodline angles forever. A perfectly grand main event, giving us the new dynamic of the family as well as Fatu running main event Raya. The man always got the better of Solo one-on-one, but that's not how the Bloodline usually likes to play. Jimmy played his role in giving Big Jacob the room to fly, and the man just flat out beat Sikoa clean. Impaler DDT and pop-up moonsault for the win. No interference, nor Tongans, or new dance partner for Fatu. Hikuleo and Tangaloa eventually out post-match to stop the beating Jacob was about to give, ending the show in a classic Bloodline beatdown instead. Just to a much less heated response than we're used to. They still got booed. The crowd still loves Fatu, but this ending very much fit the low-key energy of the episode. Almost like, it's Independence Day. None of us want to be here working, right? Kind of energy to the show. Kind of just felt like that. But it's not as bad as the reaction that Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax got for their last, like, the announcement for their match. The match itself got a decent reaction, but the actual, like, announcement of it and build to it was so low effort, so low key, and the fan reaction was more along the lines of, oh, we're doing this again, are we? The Bloodline main event stuff is kind of showing its age. We're reaching a point where we've ran this so many times. How many different ways can you do this, interestingly? And the answer seems to be, we've ran that course. The fans are past it. But in this new version with the mid-card acts, I think the fans are going to be fine with it purely because it's building up Jacob Fatu, and they're so into Fatu that, yeah, they don't really mind. With a new lineup for the Bloodline, with new guys still coming in, but it's definitely not something that's going to, like, massively help swing any change or anything. This summer for WWE has just been so... So nothing. I talked about it at length last week, so I guess if you do want to know what my current thoughts on the state of WWE are, that last week was really where all of that got blurted out. But too long didn't listen. I just feel like WWE have been meandering nowhere since the whole Rock thing with Elimination Chamber, with the whole John Cena thing, and the John Cena heel run has kind of been emblematic for the rest of the WWE run. And just when I thought they were getting a direction for SummerSlam, that the builds themselves just felt a little bit nothing. And short notice announcing things like this Evolution show when you've already got a packed schedule, like, that type of thing isn't actually helping. But yeah, business wise you're probably gonna take away some numbers off AEW, but they're on such a hot streak and such a run that you think for a very high percentage of fans that it's not gonna make any difference whatsoever. And the last thing I heard about, like, the ticket sales for Evolution was that they've closed the upper sections for it as well, which for WWE events as of late is not a thing that's been happening. So it'll sell fine, it'll be all right, but, like, already almost like guaranteed not sell out. But anyway, we'll get to the Evolution pay-per-view when we're talking about the stuff more like Raw for when they really are starting to build up to it. For now, we've got Cody Rhodes, 2025 King of the Ring winner. King Rhodes opened the show, kicked off Smackers with his shiny, sparkling crown. A promo that took the history of the King of the Ring winners, giving the past far more importance and prestige than it ever had in its time, and tying it into the now, into Cody and his goal to get his ball back. Randy Pandy Randy Orton was the lad to stroll on out for a chat. Mr. Storytime made the character beat clear that Cody didn't hesitate to pull the trigger at Night of Champions. Drew McIntyre then said hello for the first time since the Saturday Night's main event Damian Priest cage match. When did WWE get so soft? Thank God the Alpha has returned. Was meant to make him sound like a dickhead, but the WWE crowd cheered. So read into that as you will. RKO from Randy made the Scott all angry. The match set for Saturday Night's main event after talking with GM Nick. A nice little tease staring down Fatu temporarily before transitioning focus into the next segment. Randy gave Cody his nice little character focus of, look, you did the thing, you didn't hesitate, and that's the character beat you kind of need to overcome to defeat John Cena. Oh, hey. Kind of set up. And then we got a Saturday's main event match set. So, hooray. The segment served its purpose. But I'm not as positive on the WWE Women's Champion Tiffany Stratton, where she chose her challenger for Evolution. The Evolution card continues continues to be hastily scrapped together. This is not a show that's been long in production where you've made sure you've got women's legends available to actually be on the show. This is something scraped together last minute. A show announced, what, 6 weeks ago? This segment did play an important role in giving us our first screen showing between our future SummerSlam opponents, with Jade Cargill in an amazing outfit marching the sparkles of the Queen of the Ring crown. Quite the contrast when showing the ring with Tiffy's height of black boots and, I don't know how else to describe it, but diaper dress? I thought it was like, who let you on TV with that tuck up the front? Like, I don't know what it was doing. A nice little surprise that the champion brought out Trish Stratus to be her opponent. The legend came out to plug the show amongst kind applause and piped in cheers whenever Cargill did her speaking. Hey, my kids have never seen me as champion. All right then, end of segment. What an exciting way to announce a legend coming back. Such a low-key, almost designed to quash a good reaction way to announce that match. Almost like a, as a sidebar, do you want to? Yeah, all right. Like it's, am I meant to be excited? Am I meant to be like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's, that's what they've instilled in me. Like, yeah, sure, okay. And really, that's the vibe for Evolution. Just them going, huh? And me going, huh? There's no other further reaction. It's like, I'm going to watch this show. And, you know, it's going to have the main event of Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley, which even with me expecting it to be some form of setup for SummerSlam, I'm still looking forward to like, watching those two dance. But the rest of the show, it really is just those two noises. WWE lifting a plate up and going, huh? And me going, yeah. That's not a build to get me excited. So, isn't it? Backstage, Naomi attacked Cargill with the Money in the Bank briefcase, earning the award of worst edited in reaction as badly piped in boos played after Naomi's "you should have proceeded with caution" catchphrase. How are WWE still so bad at sound edits? It's been over 20 years and they still suck. What is this? And I am immediately onto the other notes. A very nothing smackers. Yes, it was coming off of neither champions and giving us our little coming home night for the Kings and the Queens, setting us up for SummerSlam, but it was also on July 4th, and I assume that's why it was a low-key, low-effort show. As in, oh, this feels kind of low-effort. It's like, yeah, yeah, because it was. It's Independence Day. But yeah, with so much like edited stuff within there, whenever you watch an edited WWE show, it's like... They are so bad at some of their sound fades. It's just ridiculous. How are they that bad at it? And let's jump on to the other notes. There's a few to get through. Adidas Red Charlotte. I've always said it as Adidas, but I'm assuming every American would be shouting at me going Adidas. It's like, no, suck it. You're getting my common English way of pronouncing it. Adidas Red Charlotte got a tag team opportunity from Aldis for Evolution. They're not happy getting paired with Bliss. Lexi, you know me. Charlotte Flair. I don't like sharing the spotlight. Honey, you haven't been in the spotlight for a long time. I'm helping you. There we go. There's our character beat. Not subtly at all explained. Front and centre. Going, I'm a character with this trait. Well, we're going to address that. Okay. You don't need to think. It will tell you. It's fine. They faced Chelsea Green's Scottish Security and Mia Yim and B-Fab to qualify. It's not quite your generic, but how will they coexist trope? Sure, that's exactly how it plays out in ring, but we're trying to develop a natural character arc for Charlotte here, so it's grand. They've not done that before. Really, it's like we're trying something here, but it was very, very evident in that Road to WrestleMania that something like this specifically was needed. So sure, it feels a bit rough, but I feel like for the long term investment of Charlotte, I'm still on board here. This is still good stuff. Well, it's not good TV, but it's good character notes which you could then use later. Certainly doesn't help aid the current feeling towards WWE for a lot of people. This is the kind of quality in the mid card where you're just watching and go, it's a bit awkward, isn't it? Speaking of tag matches, the whole division bickered backstage with Aldis. Half an hour into the show at this point, and already I had three Nick Aldis segments. Like, calm down. You're not the main character, bruv. Let the others play. Let the others roll. The teams got to bicker between themselves over which four lads would get to fight the Wyatts, choosing one from each team to dance. Montez Ford, Johnny Gargano, Chris Sabin, and Berto. Fun enough, mid-card fair. And we move on. Julia got a VTR play-play talking to camera, promising to actually do something with the Women's United States Championship. Well, I hope so, but we'll see, Doc. We'll see. Andrade and Rey Fénix faced Fraxium in a match I'm genuinely impressed WWE made me not care about. Framed as the two Mexican lads being a new and exciting tag team, as they continue to have no real plans for both talented lads, the latter especially. Like, Fénix accidentally got a WrestleMania match. Like, that's not that's not really a notch in, but what, they used Rey Fénix? Like, they didn't, not on purpose. Got really fortunate with an injury. He happened to be there. There's a, like, storyline proximity at that very specific time with the Rey Fénix Jack Gable storyline. He happened to be in the room. So it's not really them having these big plans for Rey Fénix. And finally, Damian Priest and Aleister Black had another backstage interaction following last week's quick hello, both lads delivering their lines in a manner of definitely remembering them. They'll eventually dance, but first we've got Black versus Truth next week. I mean, I won't be covering it. I'm already going to have enough to cover next week, but if you really want to watch Aleister Black versus R-Truth to see how it feeds into Damian Priest versus Aleister Black, then you go ahead. It really does feel like with this latest crop of like AEW signings, doesn't particularly feel like they want them. Penta has really been the only one of this new crop that they've really had a main roster plan for, or at least started to properly feature. Like, Rey Fénix is constantly forgotten, almost side act. Aleister Black hasn't settled and is just kind of weirdly floating about. They've got his thing with Damian Priest, which is kind of only just kicking off, and maybe after this it'll feel more important. But it feels like Damian Priest is a character they want to feature, but they don't have any plans for. Aleister Black is a character they've got and should probably feature and don't have any plans for. And they're the two different vibes that I've got clashing for this match, which is probably going to be fill on the SummerSlam card at some point, because they've got two nights to fill. And that's the kind of energy I want going into your biggest show of the summer. That's the kind of energy I want. It's a much, much shorter July 4th show. It is what it is. Most people wouldn't be thinking about it for this long. But I've got this format. I've got this bloody thing. And you know what? I think we're all okay if I just move on. There's not really much to say here. It was what it was. Next week, much, much bigger. The next week's Smackers will be the final one before Evolution and the final one before Saturday night's main event. So it may feel a bit more eventful. We've got those two things over the weekend, and then we go straight into Monday Night Raw, and then we're starting towards, really building towards the European tour just before SummerSlam. Things are going to get a rolling, you would hope. And speaking of hoping to get things a-rolling, we jump on over to Providence, Rhode Island. 1 hour, 50 minutes edited version on Netflix for me of Monday Night Raw. A show coming out of WWE's worst ratings of the Netflix era. Yay! I'm covering a banger. I'm covering just like a current Monday Night Raw of shows that are just so nothing. It's not like a mini lull. It's been the entire summer. Been since WrestleMania, since the John Cena title win. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's just a lot of fans being like, just not so tuning in. I do know the Night of Champions show, at least over here in the UK, that was within our top 10 for quite a while during the week. So I know the Night of Champions show did well. So maybe that's just like the routine we'll go through, where the weekly TV is just getting lower and lower. But the actual special events themselves still do good numbers. So it won't be seen that big of a loss by Netflix, possibly. But it is interesting that these Monday Night Raw shows, the numbers are just, we're getting set record lows and they're not good. And it very much does feel like how you would talk about a filler episode, where I'm like, but it does, like, it gives characters that need the time some airtime to actually get themselves across. It does do that, like, and that's obviously useful. But that's also how we try and justify a filler episode. That's very much what this week's Raw felt like. A show all about Sethi Boo and the Killer Bees. So let's jump on over to Monday Night Raw.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Show with plenty of enthusiastic barks for Breaker. Sethi Boo and the Killer Bees kicked off Monday Night Raw, stood in the ring for another 15-minute promo. Breaker took the mic with Seth and Heyman chatting in the background that him doing that wasn't the plan. Heyman with those little expressions of showing that he is so afraid of Breaker. Bron just went off on Sammy because he was facing him later in the show. Oh, and when you look at that, both he and Big Bronson are in their ring gear ready for their matches already. Speaking of, the Aussie then got his mic moment too. Nothing specific for him though, just going off on Jey Uso a bit as well. With Breaker versus Sami, Bron versus Jey Uso, and Seth versus Penta, all scheduled for the show. So let's just get to them, shall we? Like, they killed 15 minutes kind of talking about nothing. And no matter what my self-criticism says about this show, I'm not that mean. I'm not about to do the same. So let's just jump on over to the matches. First off, Sami versus Breaker. With an already bandaged stomach, again attacked by a chair-wielding cross on the ramp, Babyface defies and wisely got Sami into the ring and amped up to go. But this match was all about Bron and his charging, nailing an awesome-looking spear on a Brett's Rope flying Canadian. The crowd was so amped to the ringside Breaker attack that followed as well. Not really a competitive match, more of an angle with Sami injured beforehand by Cross. But Sami is still the best at making Breaker look such a scary, incredible force. Just remember this time last year when they were fighting over the Intercontinental Championship, and it was Sami's job to make Breaker look awesome when he got his title win. Then we swing into Big Bronson versus Jey Uso. An alright pattern to this one. Big lad dominating as Jey got his Let's Go Uso yeet comeback spark. And I will always find an announce chair being launched from off camera funny. It was a DQ though. It's like, damn it, you made me laugh. I was enjoying myself before reality then sunk in. We're like, oh, it's a DQ. aren't the cushions soft? Is that okay? Two tsunamis and a Jason Jordan later, and we were moving on from the segment. But this was all about a show getting over Seth's faction, every one of them getting their wins and getting their moments. Backing up Seth's words of them saying that they are running the show, they're running Monday Night Raw. This week gave us that show where that happened. I assume next week for CM Punk to come out and then contest that. But this week specifically, they actually backed up the words they've been saying. And the main event was Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins versus Penta. Main event Penta, 2 weeks in a row. 10 minutes with an ad break before the Killer Bees joining for a 3-on-1 Penta beating was halted by an LA Knight BFT. Lovely to see Penta get to dance with Rollins. Shouldn't be surprising to hear they gelled really well together. Nothing special. This is a low-key show's WWE telly main, but it was your standard of 3-star Teddy Rollins solid enough fare. Not gonna lie, this Raw didn't earn my investment. I didn't care about what was happening, and I was just spending the runtime wishing I was watching the competition. But this main event was alright. There you go. There's your positivity, I guess. Speaking of positivity, let's get into the Evolution build. it's nothing but positive vibes around here. The sentiments around it, not to harsh the vibes, guys. Not to harsh the vibes, but the sentiments around this show aren't exactly the best. Then you watch the build on Raw and Smackers, and the whole thing feels like a low-level, unimportant, refer to noises I made earlier. The card feels thrown together because, well, that's exactly what the entire event itself is. On a weekend where WWE already has Saturday Night's Main Event and NXT shows, the women and Evolution are sacrificed to slightly chip away from AEW's biggest swing of the year. But they're not competition. Even if paywall folk do pipe up like clockwork on the social medias and the podcast clips to bash AEW. Show content-wise, Perez faced Kyrie, the latter winning with a quick pin after countering Pop Rocks. Post-match beating filled the final slot for the definitely not thrown together tag four-way on the definitely long-planned Evolution show. Asuka reunited the Warriors. Nikki Bella cut a promo with her now just thrown into the Battle Royal after the Liv injury. Trish Stratus's inclusion is also thrown in last minute. The Women's Intercontinental Championship triple threat is really the only one with a natural flow. Unfortunately for them, it's a lower mid-card kind of affair, level of flow. Not designed to be hyped as your main fixture. Not that any of the matches really do. Really are, to be fair. Like, these three women would kill a main event, but the build and the way that they got the dynamics of it working so far isn't designed to be that. Like, where it is just solidly in the middle and it's entertaining enough, that's what they're aiming for. And they're nailing it, they're nailing their slot, they're naming that point. It does mean, what do you build this thrown together Evolution show around? And that suddenly means we're rushing into EO versus Ripley when that's your big SummerSlam program. And that's obviously the most hyped match. It just screams it was never meant for this show. That's your women's headliner for SummerSlam, so I'm not expecting the most satisfying of endings. Production worked their magic with the Ripley You've Never Beaten EO video package play, and with a pretty damn high quality match graphic as well, with the two walking out amongst a big green screen field, I guess, for the graphic. Because if this is not your SummerSlam match for EO, then what is? And what is your big Rhea Ripley match for SummerSlam as well? Well, especially, I feel like in terms of WWE plans, Ripley's more important to get on the card. But if it's not EO Ripley, then what is the plan? But Evolution, like, it's a C show, which sucks given WWE fans have been calling for a second Evolution show for 7 whole years, the last one being in 2018, and then this rushed job is what they get. Sean Rossap reporting that he's heard the women might be feeling like they're being set up to fail, not just because of the already busy wrestling schedule, but because of a Beyonce concert across the street and the big baseball game I definitely could talk so much on. But I know that's a lot of reasons to not watch Evolution. I get the sentiment, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see that in all measurements. in all metrics for measuring the success of the show. I would not be surprised if it's across all of them, from ticket sales to Netflix live viewers to reviews throughout the week. The biggest sign being us folk who have to watch this and make our notes to talk about it and whatnot. We're the only ones complaining about there being too much wrestling this weekend, because it's pretty easy answer for most fans. Of course, I'm watching All In. And that brings me on to the other show. They're not counter-programming, it's just a coincidence, guys. But Saturday Night's main event is also this weekend, headlined by Gunther versus Goldberg. The rest of the card really doesn't feel like it matters, which is absolutely fine for the quick character showcases these modern NBC specials are. Sure, you've got Seth and Knight and Orton and McIntyre, but those could easily just be telly wrestling fodder. Gunther has absolutely been killing it with his promos building to this, and deserves all of the praise, so I'll just give him his moment. This here, though, was the moment where Goldberg arrives and gives us our big promise for the weekend. Goldberg on out pretty quickly into the segment, split screen as he marched from the parking lot and quickly into Gunther scuttling away. No need for a back and forth promo here. Gunther's promo's already set the stage enough, so old Bill can just get the hype charging underway. Just come on out and go at him. So finally, I just want to give kudos to Gunther. Last week, the phrase I said last week, I'm not missing Goldberg at all. Gunther coming out each week and telling these promos, he's been delivering them so well. Absolutely nailed his job. To the point where I'm not missing your opponent. I don't feel like they necessarily need to even be there. Like that's a good achievement. But a kind of nothing Monday Night Raw. As I said, it felt so filler, and it's mostly just because it does then focus on one group in the Seth group and having them have every single member have a match and start to properly feature them. But speaking of doing that, let's go to the other notes, and obviously top of the other notes on Monday Night Raw. It's the Judgment Day drama check-in. Finn polished their shiny titles. Raquel not happy with their in memoriam looking framed live photo presented and shined amongst candles and roses for the camera. A corny little comedy in quotation marks segment, with Dom finding out the get well soon cake was actually from AJ Styles, who was hiding behind a cupboard on the set. Set being a strong word for the curtains, props and lighting pop-up production. That Netflix money really showing in the TKO group's pockets. Tag scene wise, New Day was backstage in mourning getup, as in funeral. Not as in I've just woken up. with them backstage asking Aldis for their title rematch before the War Raiders butted in. And then Becky arrived to transition us into the following segment. And then finally, El Grande Americano faced Dragon Lee in what felt like the show's momentum lulled death slot. Came before Gunther and Goldberg's final pre-Saturday Night's main event segment and the Rollins Penta main event. But I guess it kind of was. But if the show already felt like filler, Americano versus Dragon Lee felt like the most. There's nothing happening here. We got two talented wrestlers coming out and filling time. This was the most filler that this filler episode felt. And that was Monday Night Raw. So yeah, super glowing review at a time where they're hitting record low numbers and all momentum is currently with the opposite promotion. And it kind of feels just a little bit transparent at their attempts to try and chip away at the success of their opponent rather than making their own show good. Their own show is currently not good. I still kind of stick with it that ever since WrestleMania, or ever since that heel turn for John Cena, they've just been a bit all over the place. And I think my main issue is it doesn't feel like what I'm watching is really good. Going anywhere. It doesn't feel like there's definitely a plan that's being built to. And that's been my main praise of the Triple H era, of even though each individual show may not be the greatest show, I could still tell that we're going somewhere. It feels like we're very much in testing the waters and trying to develop new ways to see what latches on for these characters, what works for a new group. Like the last year's summer was quite a bit of a lull, but you could still sense what was happening. Like here you can feel that the mill is churning, but it's not developing anything of value. It's just stuff being regurgitated out. Like it's just stuff, and I'm not really connecting with a lot of it. There's possible things that can be latched onto. And so I would say, trying to find something to latch onto for SummerSlam, this SummerSlam card is going to feel so weak for what a two-night show should be. But in my head, I feel like the ticket sales are going to be well, and I feel like, well, a lot of the applause should maybe be put on the marketing team, because the TV shows themselves are. Because in my head, SummerSlam doesn't get caught in this kind of little negativity bubble that's kind of developing for WWE at the moment. Like, they're not in that hot of a period right now creatively. But in my head, in terms of when is that reflected in ticket sales, I'm not expecting some time to get caught up in that. If this week isn't a turning point within the fandom, SummerSlam feels like that could be a every another one. But we've got a little bit of time between them. We're going to be building up Cody versus John Cena. We're going to be building up whatever we're doing with Gunther at SummerSlam. Still hope for my Seth, Gunther, Sammy trio. Still holding up hope for there. So there are like possible little things, but at the moment it doesn't really feel like there's a grand plan moving forward. And that's why I got excited with my Gunther, Sammy, Seth thing, is at least someone like Raw that would give me a direct thing all the way to WrestleMania, so I've got something to be latching onto. Whilst this time last year with the whole Cody thing, it felt like we were directly building to WrestleMania all the way back here. Whilst this year, it feels like we're meandering all over the place. and not really latching on anything, not really grasping onto anything. So, you know, hopefully we find something to that works. Sure, it's maybe failed in this little period building to SummerSlam, but maybe after SummerSlam we start to latch onto stuff with John Cena ending his year and it's then going into WrestleMania season. Yeah, so sure. You threw shit out over the course of this summer and not much stuck. So you keep trying. Hopefully creatively decide on something and start to actually give me that feeling of building towards something. Yes, yeah. But this isn't your week. Perception was already low. Then there's the counter-programming thing. Then there's the quality of the shows that are happening as well. It's such a loss for them right now. Such a huge loss. But this week isn't about them. It's about AEW. And it always was. The reason it's such a huge loss for WWE is they've completely failed to change that narrative. This week has stayed about AEW, and it feels like All In is going to absolutely deliver. It's been so cool to see people just be so excited going into it. Will Ospreay tweeting that he's ready to run through a brick wall, and that sentiment just caught on within the fandom. It's been really cool to see everyone's going really cool. It's really nice. So yeah, everybody enjoy All In tomorrow by the time this comes out. I'm recording it earlier in the week, but it'll be tomorrow by the time you're listening to this. So please do enjoy All In. Have a great time. And I will join you this time next week to talk about the WWE shows so you don't have to watch them. And I said this for the Saudi Arabia week. If there was a week where I watch it and you don't, this is another one of those weeks. Especially if you want to just keep that memory of wrestling like really strong in your mind in terms of just that strong positivity coming out of the AEW show. Like, it's all right, I've got you. Sure, you have to wait till Friday, but I can talk about it. You can look at results and things, like who gives a crap, that doesn't really matter here. In terms of like, just, you know, vibes, in terms of how was the week for WWE overall. And we're here this time next week just to talk about it. Did it hit just as low as kind of feelings are going into the weekend, or did they deliver banger shows regardless? Do I include NXT within there just to see how the sentiments are? Am I that crazy? Do I have enough time? I am actually watching AW All In. I've actually got to get through that as well. Like, where's this time going to come from for me to watch all of these shows? So anyway, with that, I say thank you for listening, liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciate it and never take it for granted. And this week, that'll be on behalf of everybody here at Social Suplex, given quite a few shows are physically at All In. If you are in the area, if we are at the after party as well, Donald Talk, Trish and Sarah, One Nation Radio, You Think It's Strong Style, All Things Elite, they'll all be there. If you want to go and find them, if you go to their socials and things, they'll be about. So meet up with them, say hello. Say hello on behalf of the Tide British man. So with that, adios.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.